I've spent a decade taking a bite out of conspiracy theories, unraveling urban legends, and grappling with worldwide top secret issues.
I've even racked up some of their awards.
All while ferreting out the bottom line.
Uh-oh.
On all topics, controversial, bizarre, and taboo. Interviewing movers and shakers, agitators and muckrakers.
But that doesn't answer my question. That is all I'm answering.
With me, Carrie Harrison, as your guide.
It's the Carrie Harrison Show.
Carrie Harrison with you. This is the Carrie Harrison Show, special edition, bringing you something today that has never been done before. And it happened to have been done in Europe, and I happen to have participated in it. I've learned a lot over the years, not only doing TV and radio, radio, of course, being where I started in this wonderful wiki-wacky game we call broadcasting and media, media having transmogrified into an entirely different creature that we discuss here quite often. Well, what I've learned in public radio is that everyone deserves a voice, everyone deserves a microphone. And we talk about multiculturalism and making sure everyone is heard all the time. But we tend to deselect, not out of bigotry or prejudice or even a matter of taste, but just sort of, let's just say culturally, across the world, the voices and thoughts of people who, ellipsis, are between, say, 10 and 16, young teens or preteens. What do they know? Probably nothing. Well, guess what? We did a pilot project at a Swiss boarding school, the same one where John Kerry went, full disclosure, my alma mater. And these kids are extraordinary, incredibly bright. They watch and observe what their parents talk about. They watch and observe what everyone else is talking about. But they're never asked, what do you think about it? Because, frankly, nobody really probably cares. But you'll find out, as they will someday be the leaders of the world, they have paid close attention. Unlike you and me, whatever the you and me means, we may have grown up with something called the Encyclopedia Britannica, which means that everything that is worth knowing about is either published in this book or it is not published in this book. If it is not in the encyclopedia, it's not worth knowing about. Likewise, a textbook, worth knowing about in the textbook, not worth knowing about, not in the textbook. So, we have, many of us, a limited or gated field of knowledge because whoever the publisher was decided put it in, don't put it in, for their own reasons. Well, imagine if you grew up where you could ask, like, literally everything you ever thought of, desired, imagined, were curious about, you would have that answer in 2 or 3 seconds. Let's admit, the internet does not have an internet in chief. There is no adult supervision out there. A lot of it is nonsense, but it looks great. Looks like the New York Times, same font. It must be true. We know it's not. But at least you have access to an unlimited amount of data and information. And so knowing that, I went back to the school and I'd had conversations with them. And they're a leader in advancing students and putting them into real-world settings. Example. It's not the same old reading, writing, arithmetic that a lot of people had, thinking that that's the modern world, which it is not. Working from home is now the new normal. Post-pandemic world is now the new permanent, and everything else has permanently changed, with technology having superseded everything everyone knew in the past. Whether it's outsourcing, globalization, a lot of these things are somewhat relics now, because of the way business, because of the way scholasticism, academia, and communication, most importantly, is presented. Every kid has access to Instagram, has access to Facebook, can stream, can write, can blog. But you want it to be good. You want their, let's call it journalism, or let's actually steer them toward journalism, where whatever they put out there should be fact-based. Or at least think about the ramifications if it's not. That's part of what education is all about. So we developed this idea called Radio M, bringing a radio station to neutral Switzerland in the Alps at this special boarding school, which has the children of many of the world leaders. So we built a radio studio in 3 or 4 days. Let me tell you, it's actually not possible. Did it. And then had 2 weeks during a summer camp to bring in all these extraordinary kids and teach them how to do stand-ups on TV, do reportage, and then interview each other. And that's what you're going to see right now. So I'm very pleased to present the premiere of Radio M out of Neutral, Switzerland, hosted, starring, and with the full effort and magic, insight, imagination, and awesomeness of young kids who are revealing the world that you and I live in ways where we might not have imagined it. Let me just quickly say, Carrie Harrison with you. You can follow me anytime. Get our free newsletter where you're going to learn more about projects like this simply by going to carrieharrison.com, carrieharrison.com. Sign up for the free newsletter and get in on a lot of this cool stuff. If you're listening and you are on public radio through the airwaves without video, you're going to be hearing an extraordinary conversation coming up in a minute. If you'd like to see the video of all of this, because there is no such thing as just radio anymore, some years ago I stopped doing just audio. It's always everything, audio, video, Facebook, live streaming, the whole soup, cat, and pizzas, because that's how people consume it. And it's our job in public radio to make it available to as many people as possible. So you can go to carrieharrison.com. You can see the video of this as well. Without a further hesitation, it is my thrill, my excitement, my absolute honor to present the premiere episode in segments here of Radio M. This is a 16-year-old girl from Lithuania whose parents grew up under communism. She feels democracy is a good idea, that women ought to have rights. Interviewing a boy from Saudi Arabia who's 15, who feels a monarchy is good, democracy is bad, and people should not be getting amongst each other and stirring up problems. You're going to notice, and this is the extraordinary part of education, people's viewpoints change and people evolve right in front of a camera. And by the way, English is not the first language of any of these kids. So every single one of them has been forced by my direction to do it in English, which means it's even harder. If they did it in their native languages, one, they would not understand each other because nobody comes from the same place. But also, if you're doing it in English in a foreign language, you have to think differently. You can't just do talking points. So you have to think about how you're going to say it. What is the impact of how you say it? Is it the right word, the wrong word? And it has an amazing ameliorative effect. I think you're going to enjoy it. Be patient. Some of the accents can be thick at times, but I think you're going to have no problem understanding it. If you want to watch the video simultaneously, you can go to carrieharrison.com, CarrieHarrison.com, and you'll see it captioned so you can read along with it. But it should be quite intelligible in radio, as you are an intelligent listener, and it will be very easy and very stimulating.
This is Radio M, Switzerland.
Right on set, going live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Atena Gorstutyte, and I'm 16 years old. Also, I'm coming from Lithuania. Today, we're here live at Zuckerberg, Montana, and which is also in Switzerland. Today we've got a great guest, Hamza, and today we're going to talk about democracy. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Go ahead. My name is Hamza Osama. I am from Saudi Arabia. I am 15 years old.
Great. Okay. So as you can see, we're talking today about democracy with someone who is coming from a whole new and different culture from Europe. Okay, so the first question would be, what is your perception and what is your view about democracy?
Honestly, I just don't like democracy.
And why is that?
I prefer monarchy better is because monarchy has much more stable system. Nobody can protest. Nobody can do this. Nobody can do that. And there's always chill in the streets.
Okay, yeah, about the chilling in the streets, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about equality? What do you think about giving people equal rights to vote and also to have their voice and to be heard?
I don't like that freedom of speech, because when people do freedom of speech in Saudi Arabia, it just goes haywire. And plus, we have quite problems with, I think, Yemen and Iran with that.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I've heard of that also. I think that every and each culture has very different problems with that. And I think it's very rightful to choose what is the way of ruling, isn't it?
Well, my deception is that ruling as a kingdom is the best way ever, because I like the MBS, like Mohammed bin Salman and like that. And for sure that it's quite easier when you have the monarchy, because you don't need to deal with all of this, like protest this, freedom of speech, doing communist parties everywhere like that.
And what about the people who really have a voice and who wants to be heard?
Who wants to be heard? Oh, well, just cut them off.
Should they just really go to another country?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good, very good perception.
Thank you.
Oh. And why should they go to another country?
Because if you do a new freedom of speech about Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia should change its human rights, well, you're going to get like that.
But is it really rightful to kill people for not only following the rules and for having their voice? Because actually, we're now in the 21st century.
Well, I don't know if the Saudi government is watching me.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be watching you, but I don't think that they'll reach out to you. But the thing is that you also have a voice and you want to be heard. You're sitting here now and talking to me. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think Saudi is an awesome state. Well, not, I don't know, but...
Okay, great. So you're talking to me. You're kind of then also accepting the democracy. And I think it's very interesting if you have a monarchy in your country, because Saudi Arabia is a very interesting country and a lot of people should really, really learn more about it. Mm-hmm. In my opinion also. And I think Europe has a bit just different culture. What do you think about what would happen if Saudi Arabia would try and use democracy in their country?
Okay, that's going to cause a lot of problems. First of all, there's going to be entering a new stage of, I think it's going to be new parties, like, for example, a monarchy party, this party, that party, and there'd be like so many. Yeah. So I don't want democracy. Yeah.
But shouldn't people also be taught about having a voice and about having a discipline, and that it's totally normal to talk to each other and to find a better solution?
Well, here's one thing I agree with you. Yeah, maybe I agree that some people should have some rights about themselves, about the, especially the women in Saudi Arabia, because all they have to wear is this black hijab always. I'm not joking. They have to always wear this, and it's quite of a problem.
Yeah, and if you would have democracy, would it be possible, in your opinion, that women also would have a voice?
Well, I guess I can make a freedom of speech in Saudi Arabia, but I just don't like it.
Okay, so I will repeat it again. You don't like democracy, but you like speaking and you like equal rights. Okay, mm-hmm. I really like that perception.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And now we're talking a bit more about democracy in Saudi Arabia. We can see also you started to talk about women, right? Wearing those all black clothes. Has it come from the culture before, or is it a little like a new thing? Can you tell more to our audience about it?
I think it's an old thing, because in Islam, the ladies cannot show their knees and their whole body.
And why did the rule like that came into Saudi Arabia?
Well, it's just for Allah.
Okay. Because, yeah, I think that religion also adds up a lot of things to the culture. Yeah, and for example, in Catholic religion, we've got a lot of things, and we've got a lot of rules also. But mm-hmm. I think one thing that differs a bit mm-hmm. from Saudi Arabia, or at least your religion, yeah. I think one thing is that all those rules also have something to do with democracy. Because those people who are living, for example, in Lithuania, where I am coming from, okay. They have rights, and they have rights also to pick their religion.
Pausing for just a moment for those listening on radio, we are hearing a first-ever conversation on the premiere of Radio M out of Zugerberg, Switzerland, Institute Montana, the famous boarding school that hosts the Model United Nations every year. This radio project is to bring voices and consciousness that young people have as they observe the world from their particular platform. At some point, they're going to be taking over the baton, running the world for all the rest of us. What do they know and how do they look at things? This is a brand new glimpse into some of that, as they have not rehearsed ever this conversation before, nor had either of them been an interviewer or an interviewee. So we're watching it happen real time, and you'll notice a real evolution in personalities in a very short period of time. Let's go back. We're going to listen to Atena. We're listening to Hamza. He is from Saudi Arabia. He is 15. She is from Lithuania. She is 16. And they're talking about democracy. Is it for all of us, for some of us, for none of us? And we're learning a whole lot about what young people see.
Are you moving cross-country? You've heard the horror stories about some moving companies. Rude employees show up who aren't careful with your valuables and may even lose them. Then, after their poor, unprofessional service is complete, you get to pick up the pieces while moving into your new home. At 1-800-PACK-RAT, we've got a much better method. You start by calling us for your free no-obligation quote. When you're ready, we'll drop a container off at your location. You pack your valued possessions at your leisure. They stay safe at your home. When you're ready, just call us. We'll pick it up and give you a schedule date of when your furniture and possessions will be at your new home. Our all-steel, portable storage and moving containers ensure your items are safe and secure, because our top priority is providing the best customer service in the industry.
Call 855-348-4699 now for your free quote. That's 855-348-4699.
Radio M, not your grandparents' radio.
Wake up.
Well, speaking about human rights, I don't think Saudi should fix its human rights. Just keep it the same.
And do people in Saudi Arabia have a chance to choose their religion? Or if they are born in Saudi Arabia, they just have to follow the rules?
Just have to follow the rules.
Okay, and if you don't want to follow the rules, what would happen then?
Oh, well.
Yeah, again, the same thing. Yeah, okay. And
describe audibly what you just did for people listening.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, the same thing, killing. And I just really think that killing is not an option. What do you think about it?
Ooh, well, it's kind of not an option, but it's just Saudi's tradition for it. Like, for example, the prince enjoys it, MBS. Okay, keep going.
Well, in Lithuania, we have traditions like sitting with our family at tables, not killing anyone, but okay, we've got different cultures.
Okay, I hope the Saudi government is not watching this.
It won't be watching it, I'm sure.
Okay, so, anyways, what I mentioned about democracy in Saudi Arabia, I don't think there should be democracy, because if democracy will ruin everything in Saudi Arabia, there would be pride flags, this and that, and I don't want any of that in Saudi Arabia. I want only about God and religion and Ramadan and Kareem and Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it.
And what about acceptance? What about accepting people?
Accepting? Oh, this is a problem for Saudi Arabia. Accepting their own freedom like that?
Yeah, I think that all of the people are very different, and it's really hard not to try to teach people not to accept anyone. Because I think acceptation and accepting others is very important in our world these days.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess maybe we can add that point in Saudi Arabia, but I can only add that point for more than 3 months. You can only do it.
And what about after 3 months? If it works out, you will leave it?
if it kind of works and doesn't start a big protest or like this or like that, okay.
And if you would become now a king of Saudi Arabia, what would you do?
Oh, yes. I would make, I'll make women no longer wear their hijab. I'll spread UFOs everywhere. I would spread UFO ideology everywhere. And this, I'll make my own ideology, UFO-nodism, like that.
Yeah, so you would do something like democracy, but something like monarchy together. Democracy and monarchy mixed, right?
Yes.
Okay, so would you like to rule the whole Saudi Arabia the way you want to rule and help others just stay the same?
But first, I gotta create a party to rule Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, right. You do that.
Oh my God, MBS is watching this, maybe.
What would you create in your party? What would be your rules? And what would be your goals in your country?
Is that Saudi Arabia would be better than ever with its human rights.
Yeah, so you would have human rights, women rights also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I like now that's psychology.
Okay, I'll add like all the stuff Europe has.
Oh, so you'll do the monarchy with Europe?
Kind of.
And what would happen if you'd come to Switzerland and you would try to do monarchy here?
If I come to Switzerland and I was the king here, I would settle and make a peace agreement.
Yeah, a peace agreement with who?
With the whole European continent.
Oh, so you'll just make peace between like the whole world, right?
Except for one.
Which one?
I think Iran.
And why is that?
Iran has been, this is going too far. Okay. Has been literally just on my place.
Okay, so they're starting a war.
Not like that. Not like that. They're basically like using Yemen as their puppet.
Okay, yeah. And would you just try to change something?
Yeah, I would try to change something. Iran believes that they're the most important ones in the world, where we're the actually most important ones because we have Mecca and Medina. And Iran is like, no, I have those stuff. Look at mine. And Saudi Arabia is like, yeah, but we have the Prophet's place here. And Iran is like, no, I have the Prophet's place here. And Saudi is like, oh, I have the Prophet's place here. And we have the Holy Quran. And then Iran is just like, yeah, I have my own stuff, my own rights. This is Islam. And then this keeps on, oh my God. It has been going for more than many, many years.
And what if we would look from another perspective? And what if you would see Iran as your friends and also Saudi Arabia, and Iran would see Saudi Arabia as their friend and not an enemy?
If I was a king, then Saudi Arabia and Iran would become the best cooperation ever.
Great, that I think we should make you a king.
But I will invade Qatar.
Okay, why is that then?
Because they've been secretly helping Iran.
But if you're friends with Iran, aren't you already friends with Qatar?
I want to expand Saudi Arabia.
Okay, and is it really the best option to make enemies, not friends? You can also expand it by making friends and making good agreements and peace.
Well, okay, I'll try.
Okay, now solution found.
Uncensored, unexpurgated, and unapologetic. This is Radio M, Switzerland.
Carrie Harrison with you. We are listening and watching right now. Radio M, the premiere of a brand new pilot project that brings voice to young people. Young people between the age of 12 and 16, where we get to hear their Weltanschauung, their worldview, their point of view from the people who are going to be taking over someday. And it's an extraordinary evolution that we're actually witnessing in just a matter of minutes here as we go back to hear what they're talking about. Democracy, good for one, good for all, good for none, and enjoy the transformation. This is a front row seat. Grab your popcorn.
And what if we would look from another perspective? And what if you would see Iran as your friends and also Saudi Arabia, and Iran would see Saudi Arabia as their friend and not an enemy? enemy.
If I was a king, then Saudi Arabia and Iran would become the best cooperation ever.
Great, that I think we should make you a king.
But I will invade Qatar.
Okay, why is that then?
Because they've been secretly helping Iran.
But if you are friends with Iran, aren't you already friends with Qatar?
I want to expand Saudi Arabia.
Okay, and is it really the best option to make enemies, not friends? You can also expand it by making friends and making good agreements and peace.
Well, okay, I'll try.
Okay, now solution found.
But one more thing about Qatar. If they deploy SU-400s over there, okay, I will. But I will make a full-out invasion.
Why would you do that?
What?
You said you wanted peace.
Well, Qatar has been always creating problems with MBS. So what I'm trying to do is that get rid of this island, boom, done. We don't need to deal with this.
And now we're coming back also to democracy. If there would be a little bit of more of democracy in your country, what also the worst would happen?
Well, no, not anymore. Well, Middle East has a lot of problems in it. Like, for example, I think Palestine and Israel and I think Syria and Yemen and Iran, those are like, they always create problems here. But those are, the countries are not the really big problems. It's most likely it's the extremists, you know, those.
You could actually explain what are those to our audience.
So extremists are basically, wait, is he allowed to hear this? He's 11.
Everyone's allowed.
Okay, yeah. So extremists are basically people who think way, way too much about Saudi Arabia and Islam. So they take things way too far. For example, have you ever heard of a group named ISIS? Know that group?
No, I haven't.
Well, they're the Islamic State in Syria. And they take Islam so, so far. And what causes the problem is that they make women slaves. I'm not joking. And that's a humongous problem I need to fix. And one thing about that is that in Syria, it's destroyed by them. And it's still going, by the way. But here's another problem. It's not only ISIS. There's Taliban, there's Houthi, there's Al-Qaeda, there's, I think, the Kurds. There's all of those. Like, my God, there's so many. And there's a problem with that is that sometimes they go and sneak this stuff into my country, my place in Jeddah. For example, the oil tanker. There was an oil tanker that I remember in Jeddah that was just coming until boom, just exploded in my eyes. And there was a huge smoke in the air. And that is a huge global problem. Because then after that, if terrorists just keeps attacking the oil imports, we're going to have lots of problems with other countries who's like literally sending them into our place.
Do you think problems like that would still exist if you would have like more democracy in your country?
Here's the hardest problem. They love to cause lots of chaos in the region, the Middle East. And speaking about the chaos regime, the most chaotic part is got to be Afghanistan. Because the U.S. went in there and they failed. And the Taliban just, boom, done. Boop, after 20 years, they're done. They won. Now, here comes the problem. The Taliban don't like Saudi Arabia. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to spread Islam to them and make them come for Hajj. Okay? Invite them for Hajj, and boom, that solves everything. It's just gotta be religion.
Okay, we'll add the religion to the democracy part. Yeah. And the other thing is that what would happen if democracy came into a country like that, and if the king wouldn't have those rights? What if people would go against king, and then, like the democracy would be legal in your country, right? And the king would have like no other choice just to follow what people want.
Then that would split the whole country apart.
Are you sure that there would be like two groups, like the king's followers and then the people who want something other than the king does?
The people who want democracy more than monarchy. Yeah. If the groups go larger and larger and larger and larger and larger, more than democracy, that's going to split the whole country into South Saudi Arabia and North Saudi Arabia, which is like North Korea and North and South Korea.
What if there are a lot of more people who would love to have democracy and then, like, I don't know, a lot less people who would just follow monarchy? What would happen then? What if from all of those people who would love to have only democracy in their country, they would only just have the same country, and then the king would be like only with a few people?
Well, I think for sure we can have democracy, but it's still going to cause problems between, not only because of the monarchy, but also religion. It's not about the government or king, MBS. It's got to be the religion too, because if democracy may change religion about Allah, and Islam can never change. It has to stay as it is. Ramadan has the same, and Mecca has to be always the same forever.
And what about changing? Because people are changing, mindsets are changing, and those rules, as I know at least, they were invented a long time ago.
Well, Saudi Arabia wants to be still in an old place. They want to still keep the historic stuff. For example, Mecca and the World War I Memorial, which is the Arab Revolt. Yes, I can see it in Jeddah.
Yeah, because, for example, in Christianity and in Catholic religion, I think now it's the time when people are a bit able to change the rules. And also they're suggesting, like also in the democracy, they're suggesting what they would change in their religion, and maybe the parts could change because, you know, like people are changing and also the mindsets and the way of the thinking are changing.
Okay. As a Muslim myself, Islam cannot change. It has to stay the same as always. Pray to God to 5 times a day? Yes.
Okay, so we'll do that. He will be the king, the new king of Saudi Arabia. Muslim won't change, and Islam also won't change. And he will give women rights, right?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you. There were I, Atena Gostoteite, with my wonderful guest Hamza, and we're here at Zuckerberg, Montana.
Thanks for joining in, everybody. Peace out.
Radio M, not your grandparents' radio.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out, while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay for college, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. A cash out refinance is the perfect solution to get the cash you need. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or even $100,000, now's the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to sell your home or use your savings. Call New American Funding now and speak to a cash out refi specialist and see how much cash out you can get.
Call New American Funding at 855-221-8524. That's 855-221-8524. Call 855-221-8524.
Carrie Harrison with you on this special edition of the Carrie Harrison Show here on public radio stations like the excellent one you're listening to, willing to play something that has not been done before. That would be getting the perspectives of young people who see things, who grow up with us in our households. We deal with them every day. We teach them at school, but we don't really give them a platform to reflect back the knowledge that they've learned and to maybe translate into basic language what behaviors they observe, often done by us. They're outlaying the world as they see it and their place in it, and auguring a future in which they can find sustainability, can find a way to live and coexist with each other. And it's certainly a life lesson for many of us who think everything is red or blue or political or one way or the other. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to getting along with others. Probably not a bad idea. Doesn't matter where you're from or who you are. You could follow us anytime simply by going to carrieharrison.com, where you'll also see a copy of this video. It's also live streaming on many multiple platforms simultaneously. CarrieHarrison for the benefit of people listening. If you're watching, don't need to spell it. You can read it. And you'll be able to see this and see these actual kids at the school, Institut Montana in Switzerland, with this first ever of its kind streaming radio station with international kids from all over the world are getting their voices out. It's important, once again, to point out English is not their first language. It might not even be their second language. It might not even be their third language. But all of them have been challenged to do this project in English so that everyone can understand it anywhere in the world, English still being the universal language. So it's pretty amazing when you have to actually translate into a foreign language and say your words. It tends to be more honest because you don't have all the wonderful adjectives and nuances and different flavors in your own natural language. You have to be a little more straightforward. So we're getting to hear things really the way they are. Coming up, we're going to hear a conversation between a Russian boy who is 19 and two Ukrainian girls, one of whom is 12 and the other is 14. And they're going to talk about what it means to be Russians and Ukrainians from the point of view of teenagers, children, really, who don't see a big division, a big difference between all of it. They just see themselves as Slavic brothers and sisters. Clearly, their ancestors, their relatives, their families go back and forth. Some have farms here and there. Some go back and forth on vacation. Well, as of recent times, that no longer is the case. Many have had to relocate by the millions, for sure. But we're going to hear what these kids think about this conflict, not getting into geopolitics here, but just the human side of it as kids. What do they see for a future? Should they get along? Are they similar? Are they different? This is the first ever of this kind of conversation being presented here on public radio stations, being presented, of course, through Radio M and here on the Carrie Harrison Show. Here it is.
Uncensored, unexpurgated, and unapologetic. This is Radio M, Switzerland.
Carrie Harrison here with you, and something special has happened here today. Most of us watch the news networks. We may watch international news networks. We may watch regional, national. It doesn't really matter. And we get one side of a story. And that one side, repeated over and over again, is in effect a sort of propaganda where you really don't know that there is an alternative to what you're being told. Well, today, right here, right now, we have with us a real live living Russian, a real live living Ukrainian, actually two Ukrainian women and a Russian boy, and they're kids. The reason we like kids is kids like to tell the truth. Well, I don't mean when you're at home, but I'm saying here, you're going to tell us what your reality is like, and it's not filtered through politics or official position, but it's what it's really like. I want to introduce to you Arseny, and Arseny, you're from Russia.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, I'm originally from Russia. I was born in a small city called Tula, which is just 2 hours away from Moscow. So,
and tell us how old you are, Arseny.
I'm 19 right now.
All right. So you're the older man in the room.
The oldest one, obviously.
Yeah. So you're 19. And next to you or across from you, if you're watching the video, you'll be able to see Masha. Masha, tell us how old you are and where you're from.
Okay, I'm Masha Shutina from Ukraine, Odessa. I'm 14 years old.
So you're from Odessa in Ukraine. You're 14.
Yeah.
And then moving around the table, it's radio. I have to describe it because you have no idea what's going on otherwise. We have Diana. And Diana, tell us how old you are and where you're from.
I'm from Ukraine, from Mariupol. I'm 12.
You're 12?
12 years old.
Wonderful. And I know that English is nobody's first language. It's barely mine. So we're going to try to talk pretty slowly to make it as easy as you can. And if you could speak as loudly as you're able, that would help us hear you just a little better, if that's okay. So feel free to yell it out. Like Ethel Merman, you have no idea who that is, but
somebody does that's listening and they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. So give me your full voice, if you would. Let's start with you, Arseny.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tilt your microphone up. This is not your fault. We have a loose screw, but we have built a studio here in Switzerland, the first of its kind, just in case you aren't aware of this, which is an international radio streaming station with video that features the voices of young people from all over the world without censorship, who get to talk about issues that are important to them. And we're sitting in our studio right now on the Zugerberg in Switzerland, between Zurich and Luzern, near enough to Geneva, where the United Nations is located. And this was a concept born out of the Model United Nations that happened at this very school, a forward-thinking school that realized something like this had to be born. So they're the very first. And you, Arseny, are part of this project because you're an alumnus. You went to this school. And today you're representing a side of Russia that we in America never get to see. First of all, we never get to hear from Russians, period. So we get to meet you now and learn about you. Tell us what your perspective is.
So
it's not your fault. I'm really adjusting your microphone.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I'm able to stay here with you now and to share my own opinion, because many people start generalizing our whole nation, the whole country. And I think that we're being mistreated in Russia. Most of the people who think that this war is just something that should have never happened. But unfortunately, we have never had a choice. And in my opinion, we should all share like the same interests. We're the world, as Michael Jackson used to say, we are the world and we are the ones who should make everything, you know, work better. We are here to make the world feel better and make it better. And as a person who was born in Russia, who grew up in Russia, of course, I should support, you know, my own country. But as you might know, we're all Slavic people. And in my opinion, we're all brothers and sisters. And I'm not only talking about Ukraine, I'm also talking about Poland, Serbia, Belarus, and many other countries. As I said, we're the Slavic people, and we all have to stay together, and we have to share the same interests, same things, same life. So that's my opinion on that topic.
Well, that probably sounds pretty familiar to you, Masha. Does that seem like a reasonable statement coming from a Russian that's 3 feet away from you or 1 meter?
Yeah, it's really.
Give us your sense on that.
Oh, I think it's the most nice opinion I ever had, because so many hate now in people, in Slavic people, actually. So if someone that think we all sister or brother, it's the most nice opinion ever.
And that's from Masha, who is Ukrainian, sitting 3 feet from Arseny, who's Russian, and talking about Slavic people, which is the whole region of people who share the same DNA. They've moved around back and forth to different countries over time, building farms, having families. And yet you put up a border and you declare this is now this place, this is now that place. You suddenly think you're all different, except we're finding out that you're all the same. And you both agree. We have a third Ukrainian, Diana. And tell us your assessment of this, your thoughts on what Arseny said, the Russian now more like 6 feet away from you, or a meter and a half where you're sitting.
I think that what he said, it's very nice, because not everyone can think about.
Quickly resetting, Carrie Harrison here. You can follow me anytime at carrieharrison.com, 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 where this special program of the Carrie Harrison Show on public radio is presenting Radio M, a brand new service out of international Switzerland, featuring the voices of international students from all over the world, challenged to do it in English so they can talk about the issues that concern them, which turn out to be the issues that concern us, whether it's authoritarian governments, freedom of speech, clean air, water, melting icebergs, whatever the issues may be that affect us that we talk about. We have wildfires raging in California right now. We have flash floods also in California, hurricanes in the southeast. Issues that affect all the people of Earth. Well, many of us can't talk about it, but these kids, they can and they will. We're talking right now with a Russian boy, two girls from Ukraine, finding out how common they are rather than how different they are.
Radio M, not your grandparents' radio.
Wake up.
So, is it possible? Have you guys ever studied Shakespeare?
Yeah.
You've heard of Shakespeare? Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
So do you think a Russian could fall in love with a Ukrainian or a Ukrainian could fall in love with a Russian?
Yeah, of course. It doesn't matter.
It's not about politics. When it comes to the relations, you know, the relationship between a man and a woman, you know, love is something that actually can change everyone's mind. And even if you are from Ukraine and the man is from Russia and the woman is from Ukraine and they fall in love with each other, nothing should stop them from being together, I think, especially at this time. Because coming back to the, you know, war thing, no one could actually imagine that this would start in the 21st century. And even my mother, who is also originally Russian, fully Russian, she could never imagine, you know, Russia and Ukraine fighting against each other. Even if the reasons are really strong, and even if Russia has some reasons and Ukraine has reasons, you know, to defend their own interests, and Russia is also defending their own interests, if we're getting into politics here, of course it might take place. But in my opinion, when it gets to people, we're all humans and we all have a right to live. We all have a right to love. We all have a right to do things we want to do. And yeah, when talking about sharing love, I think nothing should stop us from loving each other. And actually, love can change everything. Love can change hate. Love can change war. Love can stop war. That's what we all need nowadays.
Actually, my mom is from Russia and my dad is originally from Ukraine. And they, I think, maybe more than 10 years now. So it happens every day.
Masha, you have to go soon because part of this conversation means we're cutting into other time of yours. But it's very generous of you to come in and talk today, to sit with me, an American, Arseny, a Russian, Diana, another Ukrainian, probably very easy for you to sit with her. But we're both on a side where we don't know what this all means. And we're finding out today that the common denominator in everything has always been, going back to the ancient Greeks, that love is the basis for getting along, love and understanding, and being willing to ask questions and learn about others. I'm thrilled that you guys have this kind of enlightenment. And I would ask you, Masha, before you leave, what would you like to see for the future between these two countries? And do you have a way to get there? Do you have a way, if they only would do this?
Actually, about way, I don't have way and any idea about future of these two countries, but I would love to see just peace between these two countries. No borders, no borders between people, actually.
So a world without borders?
No, world without borders between people.
Ah, okay.
Not without borders at all, because it will be terrible.
Well, it would be the school, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So basically Hotel Earth, where everyone gets a room.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting way to look at it. And Diana, how about you? I know I'm asking you to go yes, no, but give us a little of your thinking.
I want to have peace between these two countries. And
yes. Okay. Excellent. Do you feel that most people your age, you are 14.
Yes.
Ah, okay. We've just aged a year in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Arseny is 19. And you again, Diana, are 12. Do you think that most people your age think like you, or are you unique?
No, it depends on people.
Unfortunately, most of the people of my age in Russia right now, they are fighting on the battlefields. And that's why sometimes I feel really just embarrassed. You know, like not embarrassed, I'm feeling really confused at some point because I know that I am at this age when I'm also supposed to, you know, be the part of the military service. I have to do my military service. It starts at 18 and without, you know, asking any questions why and like what for. I have to do what they will tell me to do. And that's what most of the people of my age are doing right now. So I think that this should be changed and that people should actually have a chance at least to say what they really want to do. If they don't want to, you know, take part in it, if they don't want to fight for nothing, or just, you know, even if they have a feeling that they're fighting for something, you know, just have a world without war, because everyone has a right to leave and everyone has a right to, I think, say what they think, the freedom of speech. That's what we actually need, I think, as well.
This is a very interesting sound to American eardrums, because you're speaking very much the way we look at the world, certainly through our American lens. A 19-year-old Russian named Arseny, and I'm guessing at some point you will have to do military service. Is it obligatory, compulsory?
The thing is that I should have already started a year ago because I'm already 19. But since I am studying now in the university in Switzerland, you know, I'm basically free not to do that. You know, I still have to do it before I turn 27. So I still have eight years, to go. But honestly, I would never, ever even thought about, you know, doing that, because in my opinion, I don't have a right to take someone's life. I'm not allowed to kill anyone. I'm not allowed to fight against someone, because as I said before, everyone has a right to leave. Everyone has, I think everyone should have a freedom of speech and a choice in their life. So my choice, in my opinion, is that everyone should live their own lives and no one should just interrupt any other lives. And we all are here to make this world better. And that's the only way we're going to do it better. If we're all going to be in peace and we're going to have a really calm phase where we're all going to share, but not fight and not conflict and not argue with each other. So we only have to share things, but not to argue or, you know, make this sound as a conflict. That's what I think.
Well, I hope you become an ambassador someday.
It might be. I would really love everyone to hear, you know, my opinion and to, you know, see what I mean. Because as I said, I'm originally Russian. And of course, people might think that, I'm being too biased towards my country. But as I said, I support every single country and I have nothing against anyone in this world, against any nation, against any country. Because as I said, and I will keep saying that everyone has a right to leave. Everyone should have a freedom of speech. And that's not what some people in some countries have, actually. And I'm talking about my country, too. In my opinion, we don't have a freedom of speech in Russia. Otherwise, this war would never take place.
Can you give us some insight, Arseny, on why you don't have freedom of speech in Russia? The wall came down. The Soviet Union went away forever ago. We all thought you were going to have freedom of speech.
That's the biggest problem, I think, is because the Soviet Union went away and it was destroyed, basically. And what we have now, the so-called Russian Federation, we have a president and people might think that we have a democracy. And that's what actually European people might really misunderstand, because they believe that in Russia we have democracy. But to be honest, anyone like now, I think a week ago, I heard from my friends that, you know, trying to say something about Ukrainian children who are dying for nothing in Ukraine. And they wanted to talk about it in social media. And that's why our social media got blocked in Russia as illegal organizations, you know, from the United States, like Instagram, Facebook and other stuff, you know, unfriendly apps in our country. So people cannot share their opinion there. And even if they try to, one of the politicians a few days ago, he said that we have to actually have a minute of
silence,
exactly. And the guy got 7 years of prison for saying that.
A minute of silence to acknowledge what's going on.
To acknowledge what's going on and to, you know, show some respect to the children that are dying, to the old people who are dying, women are dying. And he got 7 years of prison for saying that.
What's your sense of why
this is happening from the Russian side. There's the official reason, and then there's the you're a human being looking at it reason.
I believe that everything is happening just because inside my country, our politicians and our authorities are trying to separate our nation from everyone else, from the Europeans, from Americans, from Asian people, from everyone. They're trying to separate our country from everyone.
And why is that useful to them?
Well, I think that they're trying to make our country independent because at some point, as you can see, when the war has started, many different brands and businesses and companies started leaving Russia. I'm talking about Zara, I'm talking about H&M, McDonald's, many other clothing brands and stuff. I think they're trying to make our country independent because we were really quite dependent on Europe and to a certain extent on America as well. So they're trying to make everything work, you know, internally. So they want everything to be coming from our country, made in Russia, so-called.
Ah, okay. Well, that feels familiar to a lot of different countries.
Yeah.
We're smiling because my country did that just in the recent years.
I just wanted to say that I remember one thing that I've heard once in the film. The guy just said that our home country is that place where we feel safe and we know that we're not going to be mistreated. In my opinion, we all should be proud of all the places where we all were born. Could be Russia, could be Ukraine, could be Pakistan, could be Australia, Sweden, any other country. So we shouldn't be, you know, hiding the fact that we were born in that country. We should be proud of our countries. But of course, taking into account everything what is happening, I still can be, I'm proud to say that I'm Russian and I was born in Russia because that's my country. That's my nation. That's my people. And I love that place. But of course, what is happening, I don't really understand, you know, politicians and authorities. I can't blame the whole country. And that's what I think Europe is doing. They're blaming the whole nation. Well, of course, actually, not everyone has to do something with that. As I said before, at the beginning, people don't decide and people didn't have a choice to say what they really think about it. You know, many people, many friends of mine who are now in Russia, you know, studying in the school, in the university. I have many friends in Moscow. Everyone was just saying that, you know, we don't see any sense and any reason behind that, what is happening now. So if we had actually a freedom of speech and we had a choice and we could actually choose whether it's an option, you know, to start that or not, I think that wouldn't be, no, Russia wouldn't be fighting Ukraine now if people actually could have decided.
Thank you. That's Arseny. He's 19. We've also been talking to Diana, who's 12, from Ukraine.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on this special edition of the Kerry Harrison Show. Radio M, the premier, the streaming international radio station featuring kids from all over the world at Institute Montana, a special boarding school in Switzerland that holds the model United Nations and is a model school for academia, a forward-looking school that has decided to put together a place to give a platform to the voices of their educated kids. I'm so glad you joined me today. You can check me out anytime at kerryharrison.com and get a copy of this video. See it, get the free newsletter that I offer that brings you up to speed on all the cool and fun things we get to do, including produce special programming like this. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? What would you do if you had a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, treatment is fully covered, so why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to take off time from work, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call us right now and save a life. Call 855-325-5512. That's 855-325-5512.
call 855-325-5512 now.